The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hello and hola, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program. Getting you right in the brain and otherwise for NFL Week 12. And as always, we're presented by our pals over at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Look who it is already. You hear their voices before they even arrive on
besties.
Camera. For those of us.
That's what we are. We're besties.
For those of you watching, you can watch. If you're listening, you should go to YouTube at your earliest convenience. And
go now.
Look to.
Don't wait. Don't delay.
Right.
I would go
watch
right now.
It.
Like, if you're listening, just switch that off. Go over to YouTube. Press play.
But isn't it interesting to sort of match up? It's like reading a novel and then going to see the,
see the movie to see how
imagination painted versus the reality of it.
Yeah, that's one way of
looking at it. The voice matches the face.
I think you listen first all the way through and then build what you think we look,
it would
like,
look like. And the whole setting of this. You know,
sitting,
maybe we're outside. Maybe we're not.
Who knows?
Exactly.
Let's not spoil it.
Theater
right
of the mind.
For those people.
Let your mind's eye tell you the tale.
Then
not the three of us.
See how it matches
it
up
actually
with
looks.
The high-end Hollywood director who has shot the feature. That's basically what's going on here behind the table over here.
I would
here.
Say Hank's voice is the only one that matches the face.
It's a
I
little,
think.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you go and see Predator or any other Schwarzenegger movie, and he's in the U.S. military, but he was obviously residing somewhere in Europe until a ripe age when he has... He hasn't broken the accent quite yet.
Yeah. Also, I like to watch movies where you know who the star is, but then you see it dubbed with a different voice. And so Arnold's voice in Switzerland or whatever. Like, who did they choose? What do they sound like? That's an interesting...
What accent
I guess people have an accent in the U.S. military. I don't know why the robots in Terminator saw fit to give the T-800 an accent.
An Austrian accent. Yeah.
Weird decision. Little...
More real in a way.
I suppose, yeah.
Like less easy to
that attention
to identify.
Detail.
Oh, that might be a robot.
Anyhow, let's say hello to everybody.
Because you can suspend belief in reality about everything else.
But
you know what? They had me until that damn Austrian accent. Now I'm out.
I continue to say that the logic laid out in Terminator 1 and 2 is airtight. If you're willing to go and see the movie about time travel, you will find that you cannot poke any holes in the logic of if you could travel from whatever year. Is that the right? Is that right now 2019? Is that where they are in Terminator?
That's a good question.
1980.
It's not far off.
Anyhow, let's say hello to two fellas. I said hola because they both have just returned.
Did you say
from
hola?
Mexico?
Did you say hola?
City.
Did you say hola?
Hola, amigo.
Hola.
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 Hola,
hola,
amigo.
A little George W. there. Hola.
Right?
Mis amigos. South of the border. Back from the Chargers. Chiefs game. Emblematic of a weird week 11 and a little bit of a trend here lately in pro football. Depressed scoring. Chiefs and Chargers played in that grand total. They went 24-17. That became the 13th team the Chargers did to score 17 or fewer points. I could look the numbers up, but I'm too lazy to confirm that. That seems awfully low in 21st century pro football, a year removed from the Chiefs and Chargers game that was played in the Coliseum. It was supposed to be in Mexico City. Everybody declared...
The Chiefs-Rams game.
Chiefs-Rams game,
right.
I'm sorry, right. Everybody said, oh, football has changed forever, and ever since then it feels like scoring has kind of regressed a little bit.
Well, I think just right in step for the Chargers, you know, for defense and offense. You know, I mean, they've kept everybody under 24 except the Texans. So the defense has been good. The defense was good in that game. The offense was scoring field goals instead of touchdowns. And they turned the ball over four times. So even though you look at these gaudy yardage numbers for the Chargers offense, time of possession, first downs, all of that was there. They just turned the ball over and could not score
touchdowns. I want to talk Chargers. We'll dig in on that a little bit. By the way, that is the voice.
Whoa.
Sorry.
And
the
it's
voice
stayed.
Of your
tequila,
Los
man.
Angeles Chargers on the radio airwaves. And you watch them on NFL Now here on NFL Network. One half of Petros and Money Show, available on iHeartRadio. It's Matt Money Smith. Mm. and also his companion, his amigo down
compadre,
there in Mexico City.
We say.
Right.
Yeah, you went to
compadre.
Some good restaurants
oh,
right there.
He
is everybody, our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank Hodgson back from his world travels. So how was it, fellas?
Well, I will start by giving it a big hearty endorsement that I would recommend making a trip to Mexico City, especially if you're in the southwest portion of the United States. I mean, it's a three-hour flight. It's like flying to Chicago from here in Los Angeles, and you show up in an international city that that feels like it. It's very reminiscent of Europe. It reminds me of, you know, Barcelona, Madrid. Hmm. Kind of Florence, Milan.
I have
like
no
that kind
mental
of
image of Mexico
that's,
City.
That's the way I would describe it. Is it's very European feeling compared to American. And beautiful park that was able to walk through, museums, the castle, the all these things that they kind of have in this centralized area. We were in this neighborhood called Polanco, which was just glorious.
I mean, it really is. Like, that's upscale living in Mexico City. Everyone was like, well, did you feel safe? You couldn't
100%.
Feel safer.
It's
completely beautiful felt safe. Part of town. It's a fantastic city.
You sent me a photograph from one of your dinners, and I was surprised. I don't know we're talking at the top of the show, what people listening might imagine we're looking like. I did not imagine it looked like fine dining, but
it
I
was.
Guess when, in the U.S., when you go to a Mexican restaurant, it's sort of cheesily...
right.
Sort
yeah,
of
yeah. Someone like
no
a ranchera outfit playing the accordion next to your table.
Yeah.
But they do.
It's sizzling.
Do all the
plates.
Restaurants serve Mexican food, though?
No, they're also Italian. In fact, my favorite in our hotel, there's a bunch of different restaurants. My youngest son's name is Alfred. It turns out in the hotel we're staying in, Alfredo is the emperor of fettuccine.
Yes.
Which
that
is
was the
great.
Name of the restaurant.
That's the name, Alfredo, emperor of fettuccine. So I've started calling him that at home.
And we had a
Teppan
grill in ours. So there was a Benihana, basically, in ours.
But so the place we went to was, I mean, that was as fine dining as anywhere you could go, certainly, or I've been in the U.S. I mean, it was fantastic. And it was Mexican food, but it was presented in a way that wouldn't necessarily be familiar to people who go to Baja Fresh or...
professional servers, conversation about what you're interested in, what are your tastes like, this is what I would recommend. One of the coolest things
they
did...
I like that move. I'm vain. I would love for somebody...
Yeah, yeah.
I want to tailor the meal for you.
Exactly.
Right.
My favorite thing, though, is we had a party of six, and we ordered a bunch of appetizers because why not? And they separated the appetizers. So you don't get your dirty mitts all over the plate.
Right.
I got to deal with your filthy fingernails. Instead, I get my little portion of the appetizer, as does everybody else, right in front of them.
I'm conflicted about what I think of that move. I've had that, that salad, you want me to do two plates of that? Like, yeah, I guess so. But if you just give it as one, I'll probably eat more
than everybody else.
Because I'm a glutton.
That's it. It's astute observation.
Pros and cons.
Yes.
Pros and cons.
But so we ate at that level. Yeah. And then the next day, Money and I went and had lunch in a place which I thoroughly recommend as well called El Bajio, which is, I think, a chain, but not a like large chain, that had tacos that were just
we
out
ate
of
far
this
too
world.
Much.
And... I had to go to sleep afterwards. I just like we sat there, we watched Red Zone, and then the tacos just kept coming. And then they had this shrimp taco with cheese and bacon in as well, and it put me to
it
bed.
It was and I do want to point out the one place we did go that would be considered the hole in the wall taqueria.
Oh yeah,
Hank walks me in there. He's like, yes, I've heard great things about this place, and so I put my order in, and he's like, I'm not hungry. And I'm like, oh,
well,
my ass,
eaten.
You're not hungry. You bet you're hungry. If I'm eating one of these things at the hole in the wall, so are you.
Yeah,
and they were
I'm
delicious.
Not the guinea
I'm
pig.
So,
for all I know, they're serving guinea pig.
Right.
You're going to eat something.
It definitely wasn't guinea pig. It was,
delicious.
Fantastic.
High end.
Not high end. I mean, it's just, it
yeah,
was
I
high
get
end.
I mean,
low
high end.
Yes,
the quality.
Yes, delicious.
Yeah. Excellent. Good for you guys.
We wish you could have been there, Dave.
Yes.
That was the one thing that we felt was missing.
Well, the dinner club
your
has never
sparkling conversation.
Well, sure. The dinner club that we have over these many moons here at the NFL has never extended beyond the U.S. borders. For me, at least. I'm glad you guys got
right.
the
for a second time,
out there.
Second year in a row.
Yeah,
got a little London in last year.
Almost like we're
City.
Leading
oh,
you behind.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yes.
But we're not.
And well, I was supposed to be there a year ago for the Chiefs and Rams game that wound up in the Coliseum. And, of course, that game goes down. And before it was even over, the world over had declared. If you were on social media that night, everybody said, well, I guess this is football now. There's just no place for anybody. The defense, forget
better
about defense.
Offense.
It's just going to be like team that gets the ball last, that's the new way, right. That's 21st century football. And, of course, in the, I guess, you know, basically 52-ish weeks since then, everything has regressed as far as that goes. That's been blown up. And everybody solves, and my point is this, whatever kind of offense, whatever kind of defense is in vogue, and this is, this will go undefeated for the rest of time. As long as they play football, there will never be a solve to what we're seeing right now. And, of course, that is always,
it's always been that, that's whatever it is, whoever's the champion, right. We're told, this is it. This is where it's going from now on. Every team's following this. And 2 years later, it couldn't be more different.
It's all defense.
I feel like, though, Lamar Jackson is a special case.
He'll never be stopped. Is that what you're saying?
No. I think the opposite. I think everybody is trying to figure out along the way here in 2019. Well, eventually, here's what's going to happen. We've spent a fair amount of time talking about that. At what point this season, or will it be in 2020, or will it be in the offseason, that defensive coordinators around the league figure out this is what we'll do to slow him down? There were signs that the Chargers had figured it out a year ago. They saw him once in December, lost, saw him again in Baltimore in January, and shut it down pretty quickly. Then they really ramped things up with Greg Roman, and now they've completely committed to that. Anyway, there are a couple of ironies to point out. When are you going to stop Lamar Jackson? It's a matter of time. It's a ticking time bomb. And by the way, he's frail. He's so willowy. He's eventually going to break. The irony of that is, as I monologue here, but
I'm
listening intently.
I just want to see if it's actually irony. That's what I'm listening.
Yeah.
For.
Oh, it's irony.
Okay.
It's irony.
I'll be the judge of that.
As everybody,
well, you can't run around like that, especially with that kind of a build. He's going to break. He's fine. He hasn't come close. It doesn't appear to me. To, you know, even taking a big shot at any point during 2019, let alone get injured. And in the meantime, they're all the more immobile QBs, Ben Roethlisberger on down. We've seen any number of QBs, Drew Brees, a high-profile guy. Those guys have had to sit down. Lamar Jackson is fine. And just as what the Rams were doing in 2018 that was unsolvable was solved even before the season had ended, and that continues into 2019, point being, in 2020, maybe Lamar Jackson will be solved and he'll have to figure out a different way. But in the meantime, I think the most fascinating thing about where this season could potentially track is with Colin Kaepernick being the actual trailblazer and Jim Harbaugh and the same guy, Greg Roman, all in San Francisco about 6-7 years ago. They were the revolutionaries in pro football. And how are you ever going to stop Colin Kaepernick? And in fact, that was exactly my reaction 6-7 years ago to Kaepernick. What, watching him play in Candlestick, running away from the Green Bay Packers defense all those many moons ago, I was thinking, well, this is it. Football will never be the same. If this is what a quarterback is capable of, it would be fascinating if you got to a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens playing the San Francisco 49ers, except that you've completely inverted the two teams. Two bits of irony for you, Matt Money Smith. One, Lamar Jackson is fine. He's not getting hurt. It's the immobile QBs who are spending time on the shelf. And the other irony is, of course, that 6-7 years removed from Kaepernick and company revolutionizing pro football, allegedly or otherwise, Lamar Jackson and company are doing the same thing. And now the more conventional San Francisco 49ers are, at least at this moment, the number one seed in the NFC. So it would be positively grand if they faced each other once again. What?
I mean, it's not irony.
That's
irony.
It's not irony. It's a coincidence.
It's coincidental.
It's not irony.
It would be like Greg Roman. I mean, all the things you said are coincidental, not ironic.
That's okay.
It's fine. We could just retype irony on the screen if you're watching,
irony.
And we'll just play the
it's
coincidence.
Okay.
If
it's,
the
yes.
Raven, and then,
I disagree.
Then everything you said would be right.
No. I believe I understand what irony is. If the San Francisco
49ers... I do too, and it's not
bad. If the San Francisco 49ers
there's nothing
were positioned
ironic about that.
As trailblazers, and they then revert to a traditional...
It's almost
thing,
unironic.
And they get bit by that snake, that's ironic.
No.
Yes,
no.
If they get bitten
it's
by the
circumstantial,
snake
the fact
Greg...
that somehow Lamar Jackson wasn't drafted higher and lands with the Ravens, and because he's a superb player and has proven himself to be as
and
such,
and then they hired
the
Ravens guy
just happened
who,
to be good,
who designed the offense.
And they decided to hire a guy to say, hey, you know what? You've done that
you've
before.
Done it before.
Why don't we do it again?
Here's what irony is.
Okay, here we go.
Greg Roman.
It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. No, it's not.
Being the
and
consistent...
neither's rain on your wedding day unless you're a weatherman.
If Greg Roman installed this offense for Colin Kaepernick, to provide a knuckleball for the rest of pro football to react to.
I think that's just
six, 7 years ago. And then the team that uses that same, that employs those same philosophies, then takes down those same 49ers, that's getting bitten by your own snake, and that's irony.
But the 49ers aren't doing it anymore.
No. I think...
That's the point! No, they're not doing it anymore!
Here's why I think, look, I wouldn't be playing semantics with you, except for I think you bring up an important point, and that is that great organizations adapt to talent. They recognize talent, and they don't say, like we have in so many years past, well, you know what? Lamar Jackson's going to get hurt if he keeps running around. Lamar Jackson's got to learn how to manage himself in the pocket. No, great organizations do what the Ravens did. They go out and say, hey, let's go get Greg Roman. He did it with Harbaugh and Kaepernick, and let's do that here because it took that team all the way to the Super Bowl. And so I don't think that's why I'm saying it's not irony. It's just smart management, and it's what more teams should do when you recognize, hey, we got something special. Lamar Jackson is a weapon that cannot be contained, but why don't we maximize his ability because we believe he is that special by putting six offensive linemen and three tight ends on the field at the same time and hiring a guy that did it with a quarterback who was, by most accounts, limited in his abilities as a thrower, but they figured out what routes worked for him best, how to use his legs best, and the 49ers carried that all the way to the Super Bowl.
What might be ironic is the fact that the 49ers, after that Super Bowl, tried to turn Colin Kaepernick into a proper quarterback.
And Joe Flacco became a supremely athletic quarterback, and they each went back to the Super Bowl to face
one another with a
different skill set, but the same guy.
Exactly.
I like the point. You graduated from Pepperdine with a major in surfing or whatever. I don't even know what you get a degree in. You're British, handsome Hank, but that doesn't imbue you with better understanding of terminology.
Irony.
I'm the one with the journalism degree. I know what irony is.
Well, apparently the think tank in Bloomington is just handing out degrees if you pay your tuition.
How dare you disparage the school named after WW2 hero Ernie Pyle, journalism titan. Now,
I will not be shamed because of the name on your school of journalism. I will not.
I don't want to belabor it, but I just want to say this.
But you do.
Greg Roman was brought into San Francisco to shake up pro football. If he then were to vanquish, well, he's the one
I think Greg Roman is a friend of Harbaugh.
Right,
and I think he was smart enough to work out how best to use Kaepernick. He didn't do it on day one. If you remember, they were playing Troy Smith and obviously Alex Smith for a period of time. He didn't work that out on day one.
No.
They then fell. It wasn't like they brought in Greg Roman because he had that offense. He was brought to Baltimore for that reason.
Right,
he
misspoke. Greg Roman is there, homegrown or otherwise, in San Francisco, and he develops this around Colin Kaepernick, and the NFL doesn't know how to respond to it. Greg Roman, now on the other side of Football America, if you wound up with a Super Bowl of the Ravens playing with Greg Roman's scheme against those same 49ers.
That would be ironic.
That's exactly what irony is.
I was joking. I don't think it would be.
It's still not.
It would be a coincidence.
It still is ironic, and I don't care what you say. Yeah. And either
Explain
way.
Explain it again, and we'll see if we agree with you.
Let me repackage this for you now, okay?
Yeah. Okay, now it's ironic.
Mr. Play It Safe was afraid to fly, okay? Packed his suitcase, kissed his kids goodbye.
Right.
Waited his whole damn life, okay, to take that flight.
You don't.
And when the plane crashed down, he thought, isn't this nice?
Isn't that ironic?
And then here's the only part of that tale that doesn't fit.
I hope it rains on
and
both.
Isn't
your
it ironic? No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's a bad break
just
for that
bad
poor
luck.
Guy. It is not
Sorry,
ironic.
Sorry, Mr. Play It Safe. You died.
Before, I hope when you guys are both going into your second marriages.
Yes.
How dare you?
I hope it rains on both your weddings.
That would just be very bad luck.
Yeah.
That would be very bad luck for us in many ways.
Damn Mother Nature.
Now, it's time for fresh takes. I feel like we just kind of had some fresh takes.
We're going to call you Alanis.
People
for the rest
redefining
of the
what words mean here. That's pretty fresh in my book. But fresh takes presented, of course, by the pals over there at Zaxby's, the home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and
salads.
Salads.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it, but I did. I know. I'm a terrible person.
No, no, no. It doesn't make you a terrible person. I suspect, though, that some helpers out there will let us know.
I will look forward to some tweets about whether this is or is not ironic. Eddie, could you set up...
What is,
is there a DDFP Twitter account?
Handsome.
Can we have a vote
on whether or not it was...
But you just dismissed it out of hand. You were like, oh, you're English.
You're British. What do you know?
Why don't you provide? Why don't you be a helper? Why don't you define irony for
me? I mean, I don't want to get into that now. What I know is not ironic.
This is where Eddie weighs in and goes, you want me to define it? The subject sucks. Move on. it's a football podcast. Let's go with some football.
Let's talk about football tangentially, at least. I don't know if you've noticed it. It's the All-American Bowl being played up there in Foxborough, Massachusetts on Sunday. It's America's team, allegedly, playing against the team named for our revolutionary heroes. Maybe too soon for Handsome.
It is a little too soon.
Yeah. But either way, yes, the Patriots...
Shall I actually tell you something that is ironic, and this genuinely is ironic, is that...
Don't you dare...
Your question, who is America's team, the Patriots, despite being the patriotic team for the U.S.,
have
actually become the world's favorite team because of their success over the last decade plus, as the NFL has grown in other countries, because there's no tie to a specific city or whatever... for most people, and because obviously they've been successful and people have seen them win Super Bowls, the Patriots have become the world's team. How's that for irony?
That
qualifies.
Fun. Thank you very much. There, I just defined irony
you
for
know
you,
what
Dave.
No, you
not
didn't.
A coincidence.
You provided an example, but the... But
Don't do it.
Don't do it. I'm going to go with?
It's yes. bad marketing. It's not irony. It's just bad marketing.
No, that's irony. It's not irony. That is irony. The Patriots, named after our revolutionary heroes. The greatest players to ever wear the New England Patriots uniform.
Yes.
What do they get when they go into the Ring of Honor?
I don't know.
They get a red coat.
No.
They get a red coat. That's ironic. That is ironic.
That's ironic.
That is ironic.
Another irony. You're doing well now. You seem to have picked it up.
At worst, it's 2 out of 3.
You just hit it. Hey.
Just take the W, Dave.
That's your walk-off, all right? You struck out twice. Now you caught that hanging curve.
I happen to know.
The Bluetooth buzzer in your batting glove just went off, and you were able to smash that thing.
Another bit of what did I miss? Well, no, I was going to say another bit of irony is when people puff their chests out. With condescension.
This just seems like
you don't
an
know
insult.
What irony is, and then they get the meaning of irony wrong themselves is ironic, and that's what you've just heard or watched.
With who?
I don't feel like that's ironic
the two
either.
Of you.
I think that's
well, we just
ignorance.
Got it right. I just said something
that
ironic.
Would just paint me out to be
right,
the ignoramus.
Here's
that I
our
am.
Fresh take subject for for today. I guess Handsome's kind of
I just
alluded to what he
you.
Thinks, or at least the globe wide. So let's focus in on America then. And, of course, the Cowboys decided round about, I think, 1976 that they would embrace the moniker America's Team. And the roots of it, I guess, maybe, I think Dan Rooney claims that it was offered to the Steelers and he didn't want it. And the Cowboys embraced it. I think it was an NFL Films kind of creation to tag a team that way. Anyhow, it has stuck for the Dallas Cowboys all these years later. But I say... when all these traditions can get thrown aside in favor of marketing purposes and otherwise, I feel it should be a moving award. Each year we should award a new America's team. So let's dig in on that now. Handsome Hank, maybe ironically, we'll go to you to start this since you're not American.
Done.
Why don't you tell us who is America?
Well two for two,
well
two for three,
on a
I
roll,
guess.
Man.
Okay, you're on a roll ahead. Now. Ever since you started talking about irony and finally we taught you.
The roll... I mean,
come on.
Go ahead. Who's America's team right now? Who do you think?
Well, I answered
evaluate
the question.
It however you want.
I answered the question for international because I think
it
is the
I
Patriots.
Just said that.
I think the Cowboys probably do still hold that. You know, when wherever they are in the U.S., you can find Cowboys fans. But if you want to throw some other teams in the mix, I would say the Packers have fans across the country. And you know that it's what that's related to. I think is more just perhaps a love for. At least a city that could be an underdog. I think the Raiders have fans seemingly all over the country, and I think the Steelers are that team as well. I think one of those three teams, if that's what you mean by America's team in terms of wherever you are in whatever city, you'll probably come across someone wearing that jersey, that cap, that, you know, that say that they're hardcore fans.
That wouldn't be a moving target. Like you would,
I
mean,
I don't think it is. I don't think it does change year over year.
Steelers, Cowboys, Raiders, Packers.
I think the other thing that happens, you see occasionally, I'm trying to think who it might be for this season, but the example that's best for me to draw on is when the Saints finally came out of the doldrums and became a good team. I think anyone who was not supporting, or if their team was out of the playoffs, I think there was a lot of momentum, at least in my mind, behind a team like the Saints, who hadn't been a great team for a long time and suddenly were good, and everyone was like, I'd like to see this team
that
win.
I think
the Bills could be a team like that, or at least it seemed like that earlier in this season. There are a handful of teams that just haven't been good, and when it turns on, the Browns, if it does eventually happen for them, I would certainly say, putting aside my fandom, unless they're playing against my team, I'd like to see a team that's been perennially terrible.
I like that as a measure.
Ironic, but
if I'm not mistaken, money Q rating is if the registers among the most people, if mentioned,
lowest common denominator recognize. That's
and
how
so
you get
I
your
think
Q.
By
the
that
most
standard,
people.
I think the most recognizable team brand would be Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So to me, like, if you want to have it move every year, right, and acknowledge America's team, I think you have to have, obviously, some working knowledge of football, watch games on Sunday, follow the storylines a little bit before you can designate. Because obviously, whatever team wins the Super Bowl or has the best piece on Super Bowl morning for a personality, personal profile is going to become America's team. But to me, like, I think it's far and away the Ravens this year, because you have there's nothing stronger than a redemption story, right? And here's a quarterback who was reportedly told by a number of teams to become a wide receiver, who was the last selection on, you know, the first round of the draft, goes fifth out of the five quarterbacks taken in the first round, and all he has done is led a team to one of the best records with the most exciting brand of football, playing the game the way he did at Louisville, showing how dare you say I should be a wide receiver when I can be the most dangerous quarterback, and in the process has one of the more likable head coaches we've ever had in the league, who was reportedly on the hot seat 2 years ago. Last year.
54 weeks ago, it was announced November 11th was the date. National stories, you can Google them, are saying, yes, they've mutually agreed Harbaugh and the Ravens to part ways at the end of this year.
And now
then they install Lamar Jackson because Flacco's hurt. They leave him in, and the rest is history.
So I think that to me is like an America's team story.
Yep.
Like, I think there would be more casual fans that turn on the Super Bowl if the Ravens are in it, that go, that's the team I want to win.
Right.
That's the team I'm cheering for.
I think
for.
That's right. And now I can't wait to hear the answer of one, Eddie Spaghetti, along with his mini-me. Do you have Eddie Angel hair here today?
He's here.
Oh, there's Eddie Angel hair. Go ahead. The both of you weigh in. There
I literally just whispered to the staff back here that the Ravens were my answer to. It's an easy answer. Something about social media is so important today, and I feel like the whole NFL media and media in general have to defend Lamar Jackson because of all the bad takes previously about him playing wide receiver, which is totally fair. And I think, especially the younger generation, they just love the mobile quarterback. My age range love Michael Vick. I think people younger than me now love Lamar Jackson, so easy pick. I want to give you other ones. If the Raiders and Bills make a strong playoff, if the Raiders make the playoffs and the Bills make a strong playoff push, I definitely could see the people's teams, like, people rooting for them as, like, a second team because of the lovable, like, Gruden in the black hole, and you have Bills fans jumping through tables covered in ketchup and mustard. Like, those are likable teams. They don't really rub anyone the wrong way. I think that's actually the reason why I have an issue with the Cowboys or Patriots or Steelers, because I feel like those teams do rub people the wrong way and they'll never root for them no matter what.
Well, it's because it's lame to, right. If you're going to choose a new team to sort of embrace, nobody's going to embrace the teams that have already done it.
Sure.
If the trophy case is already full, then it's lame to jump on board.
It is a little bit, but
if you're 18.
From an international standpoint, like, if you are tied to wherever you live in the world, let's say you're tied to a soccer club because of family or because of location, and, you know, for the most part, I can best speak to the Premier League. Unless you're one of three or four clubs, your best hope is that you might finish fifth or sixth in the Premier League, let alone anywhere else. So if you see a team in the Super Bowl and they win the Super Bowl, whatever year it is, and given that the Patriots have won most of the last 15 of them, you're going to say, well, I'll choose that team, and it's going to be a lot more enjoyable than if you say, I want to choose a team that's never won anything. I'm going to be a Lions fan. Like, where's the joy in that? Like, I support
pain.
Bournemouth at soccer, and now suddenly I support the Detroit Lions. That's, you know, switch that off, please.
I do want to acknowledge, I think it's very interesting that Eddie brought up the Raiders.
Because, I was just going to, that would be maybe my pick of all.
Yeah, because before there, it was the most polarizing organization.
That's
there are
right.
people that hate
and
the Raiders
they have
because
great
of the black
deeds,
hole.
But those are way in the rear view mirror, so you could pick back up and watch this resurgent organization. And they are right. They have been a redemption story for everybody, including Gruden. Right.
Well, and the city of Oakland. You know, I think that's been dealt this bad hand. Clearly, there's fans in Oakland. I mean, it's Raider Nation. The games are packed. It's the worst stadium in all of football, and that's why they're moving, because they can't get a new one. And California is very hard to get public money, and you have an owner that isn't as liquid as others to just build his own. So that's one of the reasons why they have to move. And I think that's kind of it's endearing, right? It's like, oh, wow, these people in Oakland who love this team so much are still supporting them. I mean, it's still packed. It's still sold out. And the team's not going to be there next year. It's leaving this city, yet there's this
and
success, and it's kind of a cool
it a little,
story to get
and
behind.
It does have, if let's say the Raiders were to win the Super Bowl this year, it would have sort of a Gatsby conclusion to it, right? There's no stopping the march towards capitalism and everything else. And landing in Vegas. But that would be I haven't really indulged thinking about that too much. If the Raiders were to win the Super Bowl this year, is that bad for the NFL or is that great for the NFL?
I think it's great.
I think it's great.
If they move, when the Ravens moved on from Trent Dilfer and replaced him with Elvis Gerbach, that was a bad move. This would be an entire franchise. Yeah, we're not even staying in the city where we won the Super Bowl. We're moving to a different state.
Yeah, but the other thing, I think people, maybe not the general public, but I think people within football understand that the Raiders are moving because they kind
it's
have to.
Not
like Money said, it's not
viable.
Like, it's just, it doesn't work there. Whereas, you know, given the example of the Rams, it was clear that there was a process that went into trying to get them out of the situation they were in. I think everyone is just like, it is what it is with the Raiders. They've got to move because they don't have the stadium and the stadium's not going to suddenly arrive here.
I think, now that I'm trying to just land on some candidates, because, of course, I didn't do any actual homework in advance.
You never
did. I like to...
That's what you're known for.
That's right. Thank you. My reputation precedes me. I did, though, pay attention in seventh grade glossary class, and I did learn the meaning of irony. But I will say...
By the way, glossary is
supposed to dictionary. Glossary class is not a thing.
Here's what it is. We take one book, and then we go to the back to the glossary, and
just,
we study
just
it.
Just have a look at it.
Week we have a different book and we go to its glossary.
I don't know what they called it.
Vocabulary?
Now, see, that's ironic that I know vocabulary, but I don't
but
know.
But you still know irony.
Vocabulary. I guess the feel-good stories are the teams that have never done it before or haven't done it in forever. Ergo, a Chiefs v. Browns AFC title game, and on the other side, a lot of people thought the Browns were America's team. They anointed them that this offseason.
Stupid.
I'm not sure exactly why. But
I think they would, if it had worked out like people said, I definitely think that if the Browns were in the running, were headed for the playoffs, I think people would support the Browns.
I think too many.
Obnoxious,
yeah, that's
though,
the thing.
Yeah,
too obnoxious,
too, many,
too
yeah.
cocksure, just too, that's,
yeah,
you
if
need
they had
that
done
humility.
It in a nice way.
You need a nice dash of humility.
I think the
in there.
Chiefs maybe kind of get
too
it
obnoxious?
Because.
Just Baker's abrasive personality, OBJ's ostentatious personality.
Right, okay.
I think that's.
Look at my shoes, everybody.
You know, I think that's.
I think that
Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah. Maybe the Chiefs are the right answer. Everybody would like to see Andy Reid get
that
over
would be
the
cool.
hump.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes.
I'd agree
younger
with that.
Younger fans skew more towards individual talent rather than team brand. So everybody loves Patrick Mahomes, and the story that has been 50 years, this tentpole franchise that basically. Is essential to the AFL's existence and then moves over and plays in the first Super Bowl, then becomes the second AFL team to win, in fact, the last AFL team to win a Super Bowl, And then 50 years, no more Super Bowls for them. It'd be a nice thing to see. And they're in the heartland. People seem to like that. Barbecue,
little bit of
news. Eddie's got something to say.
How about Jacksonville? Think about Blake Bortles. They got so deep a couple years back. People love them and how they kind of just like stumbling their way there. And then all of a sudden this year, you know, they sign Foles, but he goes down. Minshew comes alive, and there's Minshew mania. I think they're a team that, like, I could see a diehard Bears fan, diehard Pats fan, diehard 49ers fan. If their team is out, they're like, oh, yeah, I could root for the Jacks. The Jacks haven't bothered
Minshew's
anyone.
Yeah, but Minshew's not, you know, if it happens, he's probably not going to be doing it.
So sure, but the point is, though, like, they generate this buzz of, like, it's like a friendly, lovable team.
It's an underdog. It's an underdog team that you haven't seen there for a while. I mean, you know, it's more exciting, especially when it gets to an AFC Championship game like the Jags did a couple of years ago, where you're like, okay, would I rather see the Patriots again or the Jags? People are gonna if you're not a Patriots fan, you're gonna lean that way.
In conclusion
is that there seem like there are a number of good candidates for it. I like the Bills quite a bit too. Bills.
Now that's ironic.
What?
No, it's not. They're just testing.
Now, Matt Money Smith, I don't want to put you on the spot here.
But
after
you're going
a
to.
Woeful effort.
You don't want to, but you're going to.
Well, listen.
Which means you want to.
I want to talk about, because Eddie Spaghetti has written down as a subject for us, is it the end for the aught-4 QBs? J.P. Losman met his demise
long ago,
at least a couple years ago. But since that, Eli has taken to the pine, Roethlisberger down from halftime of week two on. And Phil Rivers looking like...
It's been a bad season.
It really is sad. And I think that is ironic, too, as a side note, I really do, because we've talked about it. What if the Chargers, after all these years of 17, keeping them relevant, if he then becomes
the reason
that they aren't winning the games?
Which I think
and it
he
did
was
kind
in
of feel
Chiefs
that
game.
Way against the Chiefs.
Against the Chiefs and the Raiders.
And the Raiders,
yes,
right.
Yes, the two must-win games in division, win them both, and you find yourself, to some degree, in control of the division as after the bye week.
If they win that game with Derwin James coming back, that is absolutely right.
Especially back-to-back games when the defense certainly held up their end of the bargain against the Raiders and the Chiefs. I mean, remember, the Chiefs had nothing going the entire first half until he threw that interception that was returned to the six, and they scored on the very next play. That's not his fault. That's Pipkins getting beat by Frank Clark, but the other three absolutely were.
Yeah,
there was a fifth interception that was dropped. I mean, that's just a terrible throw.
I was standing in the end zone on that last drive as Rivers was going down the field, and, well, trying to, because early in the drive it didn't look like they were going to do anything. And I turned to the person who I was standing next to, and said, this ends with Philip Rivers throwing an interception in the end zone. And about 30 seconds later, that's exactly what transpired.
Well, it is also sad coincidentally.
Come on, Dave. Throw it out there. Let's see if it's ironic.
Let's take the day that we have this conversation, as we have sort of been talking about for the last couple of months here, is that it makes sense, given contract and you know where the respective franchises are tracking, that it would maybe make sense for Phil Rivers to move to Nashville, Tennessee for his last year or two and play for the Titans. And that's now floated that's been discussed. But Ryan Tannehill
is playing
better.
He's playing great. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with Rivers. I don't know if his arm is not right. We all know he's one of the most cerebral, diagnose a defense and cut it apart before they even recognize what he's done to them quarterbacks that we've had in this league. And if his arm's not cooperating, but you'll see, like, if you go back and watch that game, and because we're up, you know, however many feet, 100 feet in the air, looking down at the field, we can see everything that's laid out. I mean, he's trying to force balls into Keenan Allen in the end zone, and Mike Williams is wide open in the center of the end zone. He's trying to throw that ball deep to Patton that gets intercepted when Austin Eckler is standing right, who has had a huge game and has, you know, just cut apart the Chiefs' defense, standing right in front of him with probably a 25-yard gain on a 3rd and 5. And he misses that check down and instead forces it into triple coverage. And that's just been the whole season. It's been a very odd year for Rivers.
Watching him up close like that, it feels like he does not trust the offensive line. And so some of those times where he might go to the second or third read, he doesn't even think he's got time to do it.
Right. And but the problem is then he's just locked on.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, he's still holding the ball.
And I think that it's fair, but, you know, I think it's also unfair. The line, while decimated, has played well. You know, I mean, even their third string center, you look at the way they're running the ball, I think part of it's maybe play calling, you know, and even putting him in position to have those. And obviously you see the way he audibles out of things, and he does a great job. And he audibled into a number of plays in that game, specifically run plays that went for big gains. So, I mean, he's still got that. But it'll be interesting because it's not ironic, but it is interesting that I think a big part of the Chargers' plan was, hey, when we move in 2020, you're going to come see a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we have a team that very well could have been coming off a Super Bowl run or at least an AFC Championship run, and you can come see greatness, like a guy that's going to be wearing a gold jacket, play a season, again, perhaps making a run at a Super Bowl with this team of young talent around him, and you know, come see the old guard, you know, give it one last go, and I don't know if we're gonna.
Well, it's. I mean,
gonna get it.
Eli is done. I don't think anybody.
He's not
I
going
can't
back
imagine
to New York.
He's not going back to New York. But I would say each of those guys. Sorry to.
No, because I like.
I think each of them might
finish.
Have that end of career one or two seasons somewhere else. And it may know, be it maybe Joe Namathy, or it may be Peyton
Johnny
Manning.
Johnny Unitas-y, or.
You know, it could be that you put Rivers on another team, and
we've talked about Brady winding up with the Chargers in 2020. That's not completely implausible. I wonder though if we have gotten spoiled by Tom Brady playing as well as he has or did. I mean, now the latest questions. I'm finished officially ever questioning Tom Brady till he retires. You can keep
Good
predicting
idea.
That he's finished. And eventually you'll be right. It doesn't make you a genius, but he doesn't look great for what it... But I'm not going
down... I mean,
down.
We've had Brady, Breeze, Brett Favre played very well late in his years.
These
Peyton
guys,
Manning.
This trio of Eli, Phil Rivers, and Roethlisberger may be done because I've heard a couple of whispers, and the thing that I haven't heard is any official statement since surgery over the last 2 months now out of the Steelers that, oh, yeah, he's fine. It's getting a little weird that there's not any buzz. Roethlisberger's fine. He's going to be 100%. You haven't heard that. And if you ask around, there's a lack of answers there. So that's interesting as well. Very quickly, because we have much to get to between the Red Challenge Flag picks for Week 12, and then also we want to continue Spaghetti's fan audition.
He's got to get reps.
Yeah.
If we don't see energy, I think we just cut
this
off.
We just go.
So there's no point. I think this is his must win. In a rehearsal.
This is his must win
but very quickly, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most severe, worst case, how much trouble are the Kansas City Chiefs in? Are they going nowhere? Because there was a flash there of two series where you thought, okay, they're back on track. But then, you know, the Chiefs are just meh to me. I know that they can...
I think meh is a good term this year because last year they were so wow. And this year there's not wow.
But I trust them to be able to... I think, you know, like, you want to start seeing improvement now as we head towards December. But their defense is playing better than it did for most of last season. And I, you know, it's hard not to say that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid can figure it out on offense. So I wouldn't... Clearly they need to make the playoffs. And that's their first
I'll
task,
be surprised if they get to the... I said they're certainly not going to the Super Bowl 5-6 weeks ago. I don't think they're getting to the title game now. The Colts are better than they are.
The Colts are not better than they are. At their best,
the thing about the Chiefs is it's tough. Because, you know, as I was getting prepared for this game, I'm watching that Titans game, and, man, that offense... I was talking to someone from the Chargers, and I said, like, I want no part of that. When you watch that Titans game, the stuff that they were doing and the throws to Pat Mahomes... They ran a series of screens, I would say probably 6 or 7 different plays that I remember kind of jotting down a note on, where he's got 3 options on 3 different screen reads. And it's, you know, Damian Williams, it's Tyreek Hill taking a step back to kind of get that quick smoke. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you just see Travis Kelce kind of peel this little hook where he comes behind the inside receiver, stacked 3 on one side. He's the middle guy, and he pops right inside the inside man, and you don't even see it. And all of a sudden, here's this dump off where the Titans had both of these other screens sorted out. And next thing you know, Kelsey's gone for 60-some yards. Andy Reid is so good at drawing up so many of those plays. And then you have that jump pass from Mahomes, which was just stupid. I mean, it's asinine what that pass was. That went for a touchdown to Mecole Hardman against the Titans. So that's why I don't want to dismiss him, because you see that on offense and you're like, I don't know how you defend that, no matter how good your defense is. And granted, the Chargers were able to slow it down, and Joey Bosa was destroying Eric Fisher all game long. Chenna Nwosu was when he was over there. Melvin Ingram was. That's a concern. But that's my only fear, was saying, oh, yeah, Chiefs aren't getting there. Because I'll see games like the Titans, and I'll be like,
It goes back to the thing I keep saying this season is, it's clear you need to get a bye. It really greases the skids for you to make a meaningful playoff run. And I just don't say so. They they're going to probably win the division. But if the Chargers can help the Raiders out, they could conceive. I mean, Chiefs almost were 6-5 because of the Chargers. And then the Raiders definitely wouldn't even have to win an Arrowhead and still be able to win the division. But it still is shaping up. If the Raiders take care of business, if they are for real and they can go into the Jets, this will be an interesting test for them this weekend. If they can vanquish the Jets who are playing halfway decently, if they win that and they can win the games that they're supposed to win, they may end up winning the division. And then if it's three road games for Mahomes, then I just don't give them, I don't give them a chance.
But we sat here a couple of weeks ago, I think, and we said, you know, as we were picking games, that Mahomes is almost at that Aaron Rodgers level where it's like, I wouldn't want to rule him out. And so, which is why, even if they do have to play three road games in the playoffs, I just think he could go into any of those games. And for all the reasons Money just said, between him and Andy Reid, it wouldn't, wouldn't blow my mind.
The comp for me,
though,
is handsome that you'll relate to is mid-80s Dan Marino. Dan Marino, like, well, he could beat you. Yeah, he could, but he's not gonna beat three playoff level teams.
But he had terrible defenses around him at all times. That's not the case with the Chiefs.
I'm not
Chiefs
a fan
right
of their
now.
Defense.
Yeah, they don't stop the
run. I'm not a big fan of their defense.
They're a lot better than they were a year ago.
If they
when
jump
they made
on
it
you
to
and they get up two touchdowns, then, with Chris Jones
and Clark
and everybody, then they become a different. But, I mean, just if it's a close game and you can just keep running it at them, there's no evidence that they're going to stop anybody from doing that.
No, I think of those four interceptions, and it's terrible to say, and it's going to sound like sour grapes maybe. I hope it doesn't, but I mean, one of them was forced by the Chiefs. The other three were Phillip Rivers making terrible throws.
And
you saw what happened in that first half. They just, the Chargers were slight, you know, were just gashing them for big play after big play. And then just mistakes by Rivers and that team late. Penalties that took them out of red zone opportunities into field goals. A chance for me to revisit the conversation we had after the Lions-Packers game. Illegal hands to the face again.
I really like that subtle fix. It is the most. Why
maddening.
Is it a first down?
They are third and 12 or second and it was first and 20, second and 12. The fumble by Yelder that gets returned to the 10 by Desmond King, and then they show the replay of illegal hands to the face, and it's Melvin Ingram with his hand on Fisher's shoulder pad that slips up. Pops him in the face mask for 0.1 seconds, and that's 5 yards. And a new set of downs. It's like, all right, fine. You want to call it because the guy's head got cocked back because he jabbed him. It stinks. It's a stupid call. But at the same time, give them their 5 yards and make it third and 7.
A first down for that. Like people always say about holding. I guarantee you, if you went back and poured over the tape, there would be plenty of hands to the face that don't get flagged, that just get missed.
That's maddening.
All right, some dandy games to get to for Week 12. Quickly, let's renew or get some more tape here for Eddie Spaghetti and his little
Come on, Eddie,
there.
You can do it.
Eddie Angel
let's just
here,
up
lots
this
of
a
energy,
bit.
Money. You are the caller, or you're not money. What's your name?
Oh,
today?
Am I starting again?
Yeah.
I thought maybe
well,
I'd get a second.
At it.
Oh, come
Everybody
on.
Likes
Hank
it
hasn't
do.
Been here for a while. Maybe
I
he gives it a
crack. Do a New York call. Do you got to be a New York?
Hey there, Eddie.
Okay, good. Okay, here we go. Let's get some.
Yeah, we have time for one call. What is Hank's alter ego?
I can be Steve from Long Island.
Steve from Long Island.
Well, you sound like him.
All right, and we're back. 877-337-6666. Got
is
time for one
for
call. That is the number for the fan. We got time for one call. We got Steve in the car in Long Island. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Eddie, how you doing, boy?
I'm all right, Steve. Get to it.
I was wondering, are you excited about what the Giants could do with a new head coach? Who do you want? Who's going to be the guy that comes into New York and saves the day?
All right, Steve, great call. Thanks so much. It was a big game over the weekend. We got Baylor versus Oklahoma, Matt Rhule versus Lincoln Riley. Those are the two guys you got to look for. Pat Shermer, that's it. It's it for him. I don't want to see him anymore. It's a shame what he did to Eli. It's a shame what he did with his offense. You got a lot of great pieces there. You got to get rid of him. You got a clean house. We'll give Gettleman one more draft, see what they could do. Get a tackle in there. Get someone to protect Daniel Jones' blind side. Let Matt Rhule come in, install his offense. That's a good team right there. They'll contend for NFC East in 2020.
All right. Hey, Eddie, you had your coffee this morning. That was great energy, man.
All right, not bad. Now, I would have hung up on him because it was such a terrible call, personally.
What?
Petros and Money do not indulge a lot of callers.
Really?
Callers are not good.
Not callers and definitely not ones with vapid questions.
No. I mean, I didn't really have a question
which
when I came
direct,
into it. But
which is the direct opposite?
Go on, place
more. All right, let's try it. Let me think. Hold on. Let me just kind of get my mind right. Where am I going with this? All right, I got it. I'll be, let's go, Bob from Queens.
Bob from Queens.
Actually, no. Bob
sounded very Chicago.
Bob from Brooklyn.
Bob
is one that takes me back to my Chicago. I can't stop. My Uncle Bob. I just it always comes out that way. So yeah, Bob. So
I got family up in Lincolnshire.
how about Bob from the Bronx.
Bob from the Bronx.
Bob from the Bronx.
All right, my producer is saying we got time for one more call. We're against the break here. We got Bob from the Bronx. Bob, what's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on is the Yankees getting screwed out of a World Series title. That's what's going on, and I'm sick and tired of not enough people in this town being angry like I am, Eddie.
Bob, thanks for getting to that. I wanted to get this all day long. Listen, Manfred has to come down hard. He has to show them what happens to teams if you cheat. You gotta put the death penalty on this team, strip their World Series. Get rid of AJ Hinch. Other MLB teams cannot
follow. Hey, that's what everybody's saying, Eddie. Here's what I want. Try this one on for size.
Let's hear it.
I want to get the same team from 2017 back on a field. That's what I want. We replay the games, we throw the commissioner's trophy into the trash, and we just redo the 2017 postseason. That's what I want. Make it happen.
Bob, I love your enthusiasm and energy and the thought for that, but that's not going to happen.
What do you mean it's not going to happen?
There's no way. The MLB won't want to do that. They said they'll look into it deeply. I do trust them. I do think they will come down hard. They don't want to see, you know, a second scandal like this of this magnitude. It's a shame for the Yankees. It's a shame for the Red Sox. It's a shame for the Dodgers.
Look into it. Guess what? Accounts payable said they were looking into my missing Christmas bonus. And that was from 3 years ago, and I still ain't got it.
I want to look at a ticker tape parade down the alley of champions for the Yanks. They deserve it. Let's throw it one way or the other. All right, that was
good. I thought that was good.
That was good.
That was good, Eddie.
That's it.
Thank you. Good energy.
Thank you. Great callers today. Thank you.
Good energy. Way to go. We're on the way.
You know what? Why don't you wrap your show and throw to coming up next on the Fan, Red Challenge Flag.
All right, that's all for the Spaghetti Hour here in WFAN. Up next, everyone's favorite segment, the Red Challenge Flag Picks. Dave, take it away.
Red Challenge Flag Picks! All right, let's get to it. I mentioned it earlier. It's kind of at the start of this decade. Colin Kaepernick in the stick. That's what I think about. And then he returns up to Lambeau the following season, mm-hmm. I think it was. Remember when
his home state.
Colin Kaepernick's from Wisconsin?
Yeah. Yep.
He is?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He goes up there, and it was cold. Remember that game? That's a forgotten drive by Kaepernick. When Rodgers gets him down the field and gives them back the lead, the Packers, and then Kaepernick just kept – I just remember him continually scrambling out to his left on that game-winning drive for the Niners the mm-hmm. following season after that Super
was
Bowl.
Was it Sheboygan?
I don't know. I just remember him being from there.
It's starting to come back to me.
He's a big Packers fan.
Yeah, he was adopted. Big Packers fan.
That's right. Didn't know that. Yep. All right. Either way, Handsome, take it away here. It's the Packers. It's the Niners. Major game for seeding. Both teams do not have a lock on the division title yet. Both may end up wild cards. Both will wind up in the postseason, but still significant for where they will play and what weekend and so on. Handsome.
I am going to pick the Packers to win on the road.
Nobody? Spaghetti?
I'm going to throw it.
All right. There you go. Money, explain yourself.
I'm
going to
throw it. And yes, born in Milwaukee, but raised in Turlock, California, and wanted to be a 49er, actually. So there we go.
I thought he would like the Miami Dolphins. Or was that just a
Kaepernick lived in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. I knew it was a weird name until his family moved to California.
At what age?
So at 4.
Okay.
Yeah. I knew there was something right.
Anyway. Right.
You're all right. That's ironic.
I'm going to assume. I'm going to assume that everybody's healthy. I'm going to assume that Kittle's back and he will be mm-hmm. available for this game. So with that context.
That's an assumption.
I don't like how long Aaron Rodgers has been holding the ball this year. I think it's been a detriment to that team, and I think that defensive line of the 49ers is going to give him fits. I think Garoppolo still a little sketchy there. Yeah, congratulations on your 400 yards and your 4 touchdowns, but there are a couple sketchy picks in there that make me a little nervous. I just believe in that defense, and I think that's a defense that can give the Packers fits.
It's also rudimentary stuff, but people now wringing their hands. What's happened to the Niners? They can't run the ball anymore. And I don't know if Jimmy G's good enough to win a playoff game. And I at least the latter point remains to be seen until he does it. Skepticism is fine. Except like you touch on, Emmanuel Sanders gets hurt very early on against the Seahawks, and George Kittle doesn't play in that one or in the game against the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are not a punchline team at this point. So you've deprived him of his two best targets, and like I say, in a rudimentary way, if you can't throw the ball, if the defense isn't scared of you throwing the ball, then it's harder to run the ball. And so I think that the Niners offense deserves a little bit of a break in the short term. And by the way, George Kittle is one of the rare guys who actually blocks at the spot too, and is a plus in that department.
Which is why if he does come back with the injuries he had, I'm not sure that they can count on him to do that to the same level as he was doing when he was healthy.
Yeah, I think
he might be able to go out there and run some routes, but I don't think he's going to be effective as a blocker with the injuries he had.
And I know it was a great soundbite, and it was a fun Twitter conversation that Rodgers got after his guys for getting all Hollywood and going out in LA, and that's why they lost. It's not why you lost. It's because Bakhtiari and Bulaga could not block Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, and they had no chance against him. And now you tell me you're going to get Nick Bosa and Buckner and Armstead and that crew, and after watching what the Chargers' defensive line was able to do to Rodgers, that still has that penchant to just look for that kill shot downfield instead of getting rid of the ball.
Don't you think, though, they can take a learning from that defeat against the Chargers?
I think they can take a learning from it, but
I don't think Bakhtiari
and Bulaga are going to be able to stop that defensive line.
49ers still have misery awaiting them. They have to play the Ravens still. I'm off the top of my head now.
In the Super Bowl, Dave.
Maybe.
Oh, that'd be ironic.
Still get the Rams and the Seahawks once more. So I think.
And then week 17, right. If given a choice, the Niners would take a win up in Seattle versus any other. And same goes for the Packers. They have to go to Minnesota in week 16, and both of those may end up settling the respective divisions. But like I say, a big one for both teams. Speaking of which, the aforementioned All-American Bowl in Foxborough, Matt Money Smith, the Dallas Cowboys, the New England Patriots. Both teams doing fine, but both teams looking very mortal.
Man. Jeez. Oh, God. Patriots.
Nobody? Spaghetti, go ahead. Be brave. Take Zeke Elliott and company.
No. No way.
No.
Zeke, I mean, their only shot is Dak. And
I'm going to throw
it. All right.
All right.
I mean, I just, like, why not?
I can see that.
The Cowboys, I'm still waiting for the. I think they can beat anyone on the day. I've been riding this train since before the season started. I picked the team to win the Super Bowl. On the one hand, watching that Eagles-Patriots game on Sunday where neither team was very impressive and the Patriots, especially on offense, didn't look like they could get much going. And then watching the Cowboys, who obviously kept it close, but Dak looks fantastic and they could put it together. I get that they're playing good defense, which hasn't necessarily been as good as it had been earlier in the season. I just feel like the Cowboys could go in there and beat them by 2 points in the end.
Well, the
I really love how Dak is playing.
Right. When New England's down performance was against the one high-end offense that they've played.
Yeah.
And the Eagles, though, boy, I mean, that's a conversation for another time. I guess we're going to be picking the Eagles in a minute. Maybe we'll have it then, but to get the ball rolling a little bit. Carson Wentz.
Oof.
Not that good.
I just can't envision a Jason Garrett coach team going to New England and winning.
I mean, look, that's fine.
It's a battle of wits.
Well, he's going to lose that against most people.
Even though he's a Harvard, and that would be ironic. It's a battle of wits, and the man who went to Harvard is not the man who's selecting.
You know, completely anecdotally, I have no evidence to support this, but it seems to me that lately, when a guy goes from one team to another, that there's actually information that he can share with his new team about his old team, and it actually makes an impact. Well, then that makes sense for Michael Bennett against the Patriots, just removed from them. Might have some insight,
Maybe.
Isaiah Wynn's back now, and that should make a big difference for the Patriots, but still.
I mean, wait, hold on a second. How many games had he played for
the
Patriots before now?
Well,
like,
everyone
keeps talking about, well, how many first round left tackles work out, you know, perfectly. Everyone keeps talking about how this is going to make a huge difference. Let's hold on and let him actually play some games in our league.
Perhaps, but the offense there in New England looks pedestrian, and I'm waiting for the defense to get going in Dallas. I don't get why the sum isn't equally
but
Michael Bennett has played well, and maybe it'll look a lot like the Eagles game did a week ago. You know, depressed scoring on both sides.
I can see that.
Yep. 22-20, Cowboys.
But let's not be silly.
Thank you.
Patriots are going to win this one. Here's a fascinating one. Eddie Spaghetti, I'd like you to pick this one. I didn't even hear
Eddie.
It, but I don't have time to stop. I'm going to keep going here.
Keep it rolling, Dave.
It's what several people here said is now the 2019 America's team, the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, we're not throwing these
no
flags.
One is, no one's Dave, you don't
flag.
Need to wave that
around. Down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's see here. At the Los Angeles Rams, keeping themselves in the mix with that...
Dramatic setup, notwithstanding, yeah. You're not throwing that.
You know,
flag.
Unless maybe the Ravens go and enjoy LA's nightlife.
Yeah, just ask Aaron Rodgers about that.
Eddie Spaghetti, choose.
I mean, I've been on Lamar train the entire year. I'm not going to get off now versus a very discombobulated Rams.
Yeah. What are they going to do? The Ravens are never going to lose another game.
What, not to that, the Rams.
Not against the Rams, they're not.
Jared Goff and the way he's playing ain't going to beat him. I can tell you that.
Defense for LA is playing well.
Sure is,
but. This story is, and the reason that I didn't jump off the Lamar train, but I said I don't know how far they ultimately can take this with the defense playing the way it was. If it, you know, the you hear it ad nauseum on any broadcast about complimentary football, but really, you can't, if you cannot rally from two scores down, and I kind of feel like the Ravens, for whatever songs you want to sing about them, they probably aren't built that way if the defense is giving up 25, 30 points a game.
But what if they're holding Deshaun Watson to 7?
That's not happening against the Rams, though.
Right. With the defense doing this now, I really don't know who's going to beat the Ravens. I not to say they're going to go undefeated from now through February, but still, I mean, I don't know.
But they had an easier time. I mean, against the Texans, they were able to turn the defense loose because they were up by so much. Like, the hope is... Well, if you're a Rams fan, the hope is that you can at least stay level with them going into the second half. I just don't see that.
I don't see it happening. I mean, they struggled with the Bears.
Right.
You know, I mean, they struggled
to
score. And look, the Bears defense is good, no question. But you had every opportunity to pull away from that team, and they just could not. And you know that the Ravens are not going to score 10 points. The Ravens are going to make you beat them with at least 24. And I just don't see Jared Goff doing that this season. That offensive line.
As you can start to see the finish line now of the regular season, they'll be watching, the Rams will be, to see what teams like the Packers, they'll know what goes down there. They're probably not in line to catch the Packers no matter what, but they'll be rooting hard to see the Patriots vanquish the Cowboys and to see the Eagles get knocked down by the Seahawks.
Vikings. You got Vikings and Seahawks ahead of them now.
The Vikings are the team that I didn't anticipate, but beating Dallas and then rallying like they did last week, it's getting them awfully close to
the Vikings are
cinching
the one,
up a wild card.
So the Vikings are the one because they're only a game back of the Vikings. They got 4 losses. Vikings
Packers,
have 3,
right.
And the Vikings got a pretty tough schedule. So that's the way that maybe the Rams can get in, but they've got to be good teams.
They can't just.
That's the thing. They have to beat good teams. It's not what the other teams
had to have the one against the Bears. They scratched that one out, and for what it's worth, Todd Gurley at least looked good.
Yeah, kind
of. You know what that was to me? Like that was
after the
Todd's
fumble,
still okay. Todd's fine. It's like, yeah, if he was fine, I can tell you what you would have been doing all season long, and that's riding him a lot more.
The bar seems to be a lot lower for Todd Gurley, good performances these days.
Yeah. Everybody involved with that group refuses to acknowledge. Nope, don't know what you think. Don't know why you think anything's wrong. Because he gets about like 8 touches a game. And he's
supposed to be the best running back in the league.
Next up, Battle of the Birds. It seems like these two teams have been relevant for the last handful of years, both on the NFC side of things. Handsome Hank.
Hey, you pick it, Dave.
No.
Yeah, you pick it.
Go on, Dave, you do
okay,
it.
Okay, I will. Seahawks, Eagles.
Choose.
I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles to win at home. Ooh, no Jordan Howard, or at least it's tracking that way as of now.
Yep,
all three throw the flag, Spaghetti, Handsome, Money. Handsome, why don't you explain yourself?
I'm in love with the Seahawks. I'm in love with what they're doing. I mean, I'm always in love with what they're doing on offense, and now suddenly their defense seems to have figured it out as well. And the Eagles, I'm now even more astonished that you've made the pick that you did based on what you just said about the Eagles. I don't understand how you think that Eagles offense is going to be able to score enough points to keep up with that Seahawks offense.
Because I refuse to accept what's in front of me when I see the pieces that are there. It doesn't make sense to me.
But the pieces that are there are not better than the pieces that are on the other team that you just picked against.
Didn't you? You just made the old sum of the parts better than the
right.
whole.
I know. I don't understand though why the Eagles' offensive line. It is very strange that within the state of Pennsylvania, that the two offensive lines that I think preseason were embraced as the two best,
probably yeah,
have both been mediocre to downright liabilities in stretches this season. And I don't know why the Eagles now with Lane Johnson and if he's not available and Jadeveon Clowney and Anson and the rest of them getting it going. Maybe I should change it.
Yeah,
you can't
should.
Change it now.
I'm not
We've already thrown our flags at
Eagles. I just don't see the Eagles are going to be 5-6 and on their
yes.
way out of the
yes,
playoffs.
Yes, the
what
same as the Rams.
Here?
Josh Gordon's still playing, by the way, right? He's still in the league? Because that's terrifying for the rest of the league. If he's still on that team when the playoffs roll around and you've got the perfect complement to him and Tyler Lockett, and on top of that, a 6'4", 230-pound guy that's blazing down a sideline and has already figured out how to win 50-50 balls that are thrown up by Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. Like, that is a terrifying combo.
Yes,
if
definitely
Gordon is
true.
Continuing to play. And you saw a couple clutch catches by him against the 49ers where
and
his impact was already felt.
Booger's hyperbole notwithstanding
what was
celebrated about Jadeveon Clowney. That wasn't hyperbole, in fact. He was, in fact, dominant against the Niners a couple of Monday nights ago. I think also the Eagles, obviously. I mean, the Patriots have a knack of making almost everybody they play look terrible. And prior to that game, the Eagles had been hot. Now, Jordan Howard was a big part of that, so I don't know if he's available. Lane Johnson, I don't know what his availability is. But at home, there's no football to this. It's just I can't see the Eagles, who a lot of people, including me, thought were about as flawless. Their secondary again.
They just Carson Wentz by himself though. He's going to get a lot of the blame, but they don't seem to have settled on a running back. They don't seem to have understood like this is one guy that we can rely on. It seems to change series to series, and his receivers let him down every single time. You know, one in every two balls is catchable and just dropped. Like I feel like he's been let down. And then, like you say,
fair.
The offensive line.
I don't put it on
Carson. The offensive
line
has
been.
Been
spaghetti next week for fresh takes. What position as a whole has been the worst in?
Well,
in pro
I'll tell you.
This year in receivers?
One thing.
Kicker.
No offensive line. I don't understand. Like compared to
well,
when
bad,
we were compared to our
year.
Youth. Like I don't know. Maybe I. But like watching football, you never kind of. There weren't teams that just had terrible offensive lines. This year, I would say half the league is like more. Yeah, probably more than
three
half.
Quarters.
There's probably only like six teams that have an offensive line that is actually serviceable. I think I do know some of the reasons for it, but it just that never ever seemed to be an issue when we were younger. That teams just had terrible. You know, there'd be a couple of teams that did, but it just seems like all of them are just.
I think, you know what? I think talking about getting spoiled, like we said about Tom Brady, changing our perception of how old a quarterback can be and still be halfway decent, I think that Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Ben Roethlisberger made us feel like, well, you could have a bad offensive line. That doesn't make a difference. You can still win games because they were winning behind lousy
O-line. But there's only three or four of those quarterbacks ever at any point in the league. There still used to be enough offensive lines that could keep a mediocre quarterback upright for long enough.
You have me tempted to take the Seahawks, but
you're not allowed to, Davis.
I'm not going to. But I
would say just quickly on the offensive line thing, I think it's a couple things. One, proliferation of spread offense where the ball's out before they even have to hold a block. Two, what you just alluded to, Dave, with what Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson have been able to. The Cardinals have the worst offensive line personnel group in the league. But look what they're able to do because Kyler Murray is able to extend plays and move. So I think there is something to that as you have too many of these quarterbacks that come into this league and we're given a play and we're given a hot read in these offenses, and that's what college has become. So now they are trying to diagnose defenses and get through their progressions, and far too many of them take too long, and they're taking sacks.
Yep.
And it maybe isn't on the offensive line. But I do think, it's interesting because when we talk to coaches, most of them will say, look, you can coach these guys. It's not like guys forgot how to block and play offensive line. That's not the problem. You know, it's a number of things that, like you mentioned, it's not all Carson Wentz's fault. It's not all the individual offensive lineman's fault. There's a lot of things that go into it, and there's a lot of things you can do to mask it.
We can do that at a later date, I guess, but I'll just say about pass catchers or guys who are nominally pass catchers who don't catch passes. These guys have These guys have gloves on that are
sticky.
They're sticky as all get out. And I again, for the umpteenth time, anecdotally, it feels to me like if you looked it up, this would be the most drop passes by percentage we've seen in a decade.
These guys back to the Eagles and to Carson Wentz, that pass he threw to Nelson Agholor at the end of that game was a sensational throw.
That should have been caught.
To get it up and back down into his hand. That should have been caught by a guy who goes by the position name of receiver.
Precisely, right. All right, let's bring it on home with where Week 12 will begin. That is in Houston, Texas. Thursday night football. There have been a lot of good Thursday night games this season.
Can I have a flag, please?
There you go. Thank you. We will have...
Someone mentioned that it's the first time in, and I don't know how many years or days or whatever, that all three primetime games are between teams with winning records.
Ooh. You're kidding.
Good for us.
Yeah. That's a thing this week.
Boy, this one feels really big. Then again, wouldn't be surprised if the Titans rally and end up winning that division the way they've been playing, too. But anyhow, Colts, Texans, Thursday night football, Matt Money Smith. I choose.
Texans.
Bang. I wanted to throw a flag at some point.
You did it, Dave.
Nothing, Spaghetti?
Holding it.
Everybody's taking the Texans.
I'm holding it.
Holding.
That's what it means. When I don't throw it, I agree with the pick.
I understand what you're doing.
Wow, and a little bit of sass out of Spaghetti since he got his own radio show.
I think the Colts are a better team than the Texans. Ergo, I'm going to pick the Colts to beat the Texans.
What part of their team do you think is better, Dave? Let's break this down.
When Jacoby Brissett is available, believe it or not, and like anybody else, I would have been a skeptic of this in August, but... You know, that's another great story, too. The Wally Pipp, and by the way, where did the Patriots dynasty begin? When the high-profile Drew Bledsoe, the high-pedigree Drew Bledsoe, got replaced by some rando guy, and that's why the Eagles were so compelling a couple of years ago, too, was when Nick Foles did it. Jacoby Brissett, we're not celebrating what he's doing enough, and maybe it got temporarily paused because he got hurt in Pittsburgh 3 weeks ago, but when he's in there, they're built in a 2019 kind of style that should be great. That defense very quietly is capable of dominating the offensive line, capable and mostly is dominant. And when they get T.Y. Hilton back, and by the way, they haven't had him in 3 weeks, so a little stumble in the 6-4 you look at a little cross-eyed, but you could make a case. Well, not tough to make a case. Vinatieri makes a kick in Heinz Field. They're 7-3, and we're talking about
very good team. I'm
with
you.
Maybe they catch the Patriots and get a 2 seed, or maybe they catch the Ravens.
I won't be surprised if they win. I think they are two evenly matched teams. 100% agree.
If you're talking about underrated players like Brissett, I say Marlon Mack is that as a running back.
Yeah, that's
without
fair.
Him, I wonder who's gonna take the place, and if they can just say, okay, well let's stop Brissett.
T.Y. Hilton did practice. He went to the walkthrough today. He's officially 50-50.
It's a huge add.
He does that every week, though, and then he doesn't play.
It seems to me, though, that they take away... I like a guy who can, you know, obviously can extend the plays and everything else, but with Watson, it's either he's kind of in a naked boot kind of a thing, and then he either chooses to run or push it 20 yards over the heads of the guys that are trying to make a decision to step up on him or to stay where they are. And it seems to me that they should be using Duke Johnson much more than they do. Or Carlos Hyde, but I assume Duke Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, they're running the ball effectively. I think, you know what happens with the Texans? Well, what has happened with the Texans today is just that
they
got...
But can't you screen? I mean, isn't that set up for screens when you have
a
guy
who
can roll a little bit to the right, and then that's kind of what you were talking about with the Chiefs a little bit, and they don't take advantage of
what that
provides.
I will say, though, I like the way they run the ball with Carlos Hyde. I like their new additions to the offensive line. Watson is still in the MVP conversation, even after getting demolished by the Ravens. Should they go on to win every one of their games and finish 12-4, I think it'll be brought up at how good he's been. I think we just kind of, you know, with the Texans, I think people are probably dismissing them. But you have to remember, this is a Baltimore Ravens team. Yes, they beat them by 31 or 37, whatever, 27. I don't know what it was. Anyway, they beat the Patriots by, 17? They beat the Seahawks in Seattle by 14. Like, this is a Ravens team that over the last month has wrecked really good teams.
So they're whipping.
Yeah.
It's like Nebraska in the early 80s. They're playing Kansas and Kansas State and then Iowa State. Just destroying everybody by 50, it feels like.
It's I'm
with you about that. I'm not a prisoner of the moment just because they...
Well, I think that kind of is what came. Well, clearly the Texans. I was like, they ran into the buzzsaw. You know, that team is a buzzsaw right now, and they got the same treatment that the Pats and the Seahawks got.
They kept afloat for a little while after J.J. Watt went down, but let's not forget that He is their best defensive player, and he's gone for the year. Yeah. So it might not be
And that secondary is not very good.
Right. It might not be. That might just be who the Texans are. Yeah. They can't stop anybody, and Deshaun Watson's going to have to shoot it out every week. All right, so that's that.
Good stuff.
Eddie Spaghetti over there. Continued success with your auditioning for The Fan.
Do you know the Mike Francesa theme song by heart?
The, like, Mike's on, he's ready, he's to, ready go to go on The Fan. Sports radio, Mike's
Spaghetti-o,
on.
Spaghetti-o.
Yeah. Right? Mike's yeah. on.
It's stuck in
he
my
like
head
Bon
forever.
Jovi like wrote his theme. It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and Google that. Listen to Mike Francesa's opening song.
And then let's get one for Eddie. Let's get one.
There we go. Back. That's how
so
we
the
get
next
our job.
Thing yeah, let's
exactly
let's reverse engineering. All right, we'll do that, and then we'll talk to you after week 12 in front of week 13 to help make sense of all of it in front of Thanksgiving as well. So we have a lot Ooh. Of work to do before you cut into your turkey. Enjoy week 12, everybody. For Handsome Hank, Matt Money Smith, Eddie Spaghetti, and everybody back there behind the counter. Thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.